But we are not God. We cannot make the decisions that God makes. And the reason why is because God knows what's inside. He sees the heart. And what we see is the outside. Well, today, we're going to be thinking about something. I'm going to have to look. I don't have my monitor on this morning, so I'm going to have to kind of glance over it once in a while just to make sure that we're there. I want us to think this morning about how we as Christians are to live a certain kind of life for a certain kind of reason. And if we want to get along with others, there are a lot of things that we're going to have to think about, a lot of things that we're going to have to do. And I know today that as we think about this lesson, and we're going to understand how Jesus is going to bring that about to us today, we're going to look and see some very important things that we need to do. Number one, we're going to have to make the necessary changes, needed changes. Read with me if you would. I'm going to start in verse 3 here, and I'm going to read down through verse 5. He says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, I don't know about you. You can take this however you would like to take this. But I would like for you to think about this in a certain way today, because can't you just imagine, and just think about this picture. Here you have a man walking around with a little bitty speck in his eye. And you know, if you get a speck in your eye, it kind of bothers you, and you work it around, you try to get it out of there, right? And it may never leave. I mean, it's just something that's always there. But picture this as well. And it is a little humorous when you think about it this way. Think about a man who is walking around with a plank that's sticking in his eye. And it's sticking. This is not just some small thing that happened. He's walking around with this plank in his eye. And he's sitting here, and just imagine as he's looking at this person, if he got too close, what would he do? Is he not going to bump this guy in the face? But yet you're sitting here looking at this, and Jesus said, listen, there's things you have to think about. You need to make certain changes as you go through your life. So if we desire to get along with others, our first concern must be about making the needed changes in our own lives. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? And why do you look at the speck, the little problem in this guy's eye, when look at this great big problem you have? Well, when it comes to the need for change, a lot of times we generally like to look at others, don't we? We like to look at them and we like to say, well, you're the one with the problem. You're the one that needs to make the change, instead of looking at ourselves. So it's often easier. I'm sorry. I will keep up as we go through this. Jesus wants us to think about something very important here. He wants us to know really how ridiculous it is to try to judge others while we may be living in a worse condition than that other person. Again, think about the speck and the plank, small and large. Now, I do want to say something here, because many times I think we begin to categorize what sin is or problems are in life. Let me tell you what. A sin, whether it's a speck of a sin or it's a plank of a sin, it's a sin. And we need to realize the changes in our life. If we are living a sinful life today, let us not try to change someone else, because they're going to look at you and say, well, wait a minute. Look at how you live and look at what you say, and yet you're trying to make a change in me. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is how ridiculous this is to be this way. All right. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself." Now remember, last week we looked at this where Jesus said, do not judge, because with the measure that you use to judge others, that will be used on you. So he's saying here, if you're without excuse, you're condemning others, but as you do that, you're condemning yourself. Let's go on where he says, "For you who judge practice the same things." In other words, you're trying to help someone else out when you're not understanding you're the one that needs the help. "But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Good question. We look out and, okay, we're walking today and we're here today. Let's use it this way. We're here this morning. We're together this morning. And we're going to hear this lesson this morning, but we're going to do one of two things with this lesson. We're either going to look at it and say, you know what, there are some things that I do need to change. Or we're going to walk out of this building going, can you imagine that preacher actually told me that I needed to change my life? And we can do that one of two ways. And we will respond in our world today by how we do that. Now, I do want you to know one thing. If a change needs to be made, the preacher's not the one telling you. It's God. That's what makes it important. You want to know what? Well, I'm going to get to that one at the very end. I don't want to jump ahead too much because I don't want to break, you know, that surprise that's coming. Jesus characterized those who act like this as a hypocrite. Okay? As a hypocrite. Now, we know hypocrites. We see hypocrites all the time. Matter of fact, and understand how I'm saying this, I'm not going to judge today, but we may be sitting by a hypocrite right now. And what I mean by that is, how many times do we look at our lives and we don't recognize what we're doing, but boy, we can spot that sin that someone else does, don't we? That happens to us. Let's not look at someone else and say, well, you're being a hypocrite, you know, because you're looking at my life and look at what you do. Well, sometimes we do the same things, do we not? If we constantly criticize others, if that's something that we go about in our life doing all the time, we're implying that our record is clear. We're implying that, God, look at me, I have no sin. Remember that thought, because I'm going to talk about something here in just a minute. Our lives are right. I mean, we look at it, we say, you know, God's going to recognize me because I'm living a life right, but you're not. Oh, but the problem is, if I really take a close look, I'm going to realize I'm in the same boat as you are. Otherwise, we would not be qualified to judge. Okay, I mean, that's the thought. If I'm going to look at you and say, well, you know, here's what you need to do and you need to do, I'm looking at it as a judge. And I know how important it is that we do that. Jesus says here, and I want us to notice this, one very important thing. We must first, he says, remove the plank from your own eye. We must first of all look at ourselves and see what it is that we're doing and how we're going about doing it. It's awful easy to confess the sins of others, is it not? I mean, we can look back and we can say, well, you know, we see these things happening and we're here to help. What happens, though, when we do this? Well, maybe not everybody knows about this, right? Not everybody knows that this sin has been committed. And, well, you know, maybe I can just slide by this time and I'll be okay. Don't ever forget the eyes that are looking down upon us every single day. We might think we can fool us. Oh, you'll never get it by God. So first of all, understand what I need to do. Paul encouraged self-examination in several different texts. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he said, test yourselves. In other words, examine yourselves. Look closely at yourself. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 31, he said, but let a man examine himself. You see, this all starts with me. It all starts here. If I'm examining myself, oh, believe me, I am going to be a lot less judgmental when I recognize who I am, when I'm examining myself and seeing what's there. For if we would judge ourselves, start with us first, we would not be judged. Now, never forget what Jesus says in the first two verses of this chapter 7. Do not judge, he says, lest you be judged. If you're going to judge another, he goes on in verse 2, he says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. All right, I'm standing here and I'm looking at myself as a judge and I'm right. I'm the preacher. I'm right. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Because I know there's a lot of people out there like it. It does not take me, well, very long for someone to come up and say, well, you know, and I have to look at myself and say, you know what, you're right. Now, I'm not above being corrected, believe me. I've been having that done my whole life. And that's exactly what we do. We learn. And as we do so, don't we begin to grow closer together when it's done with love? when we reach out to one another and we want to help in every way that we possibly can, listen, if I'm judging myself first, if I'm looking and examining myself first, then I recognize, oh, I don't know if you knew this when you hired me, I am not a perfect man. And I never will be. But I serve one who is. And I serve one who was here on this earth and he walked a perfect life. That's who's going to judge me. Because he has, if you want to use the expression, the right to do that. I don't. I only see the outside. But God knows what's inside our hearts. So it's important that we continue to follow this way. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Paul goes on to say, let us therefore, and now this is the Phillips translation. He says, let us therefore stop turning critical eyes on one another. If we must be critical, let us be critical of our own conduct. Now, wouldn't that be the best way to start? Well, we think it is. And see that we do not that we do nothing to make a brother stumble or fall. And you see, that's what our responsibility is today, is to encourage one another to live right. Not to judge us, or let's use the word condemn us, because I don't have that ability to do that. But if we walk around and we're looking at our life and what we want to compare our life to is not one another, because we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. So if we look at one another that way, we can always look and say, well, my sin's not near as bad as yours. But if we put ourselves up against Jesus, now we begin to look at ourselves in the right light. Because here was a man who was sinless. And here's one that we need to look to and always remember in all that we do. David Roper said, if we want to get along with others, our first concern must be to make needed changes in our own lives. If we start with self, we will be less disposed to be judgmental. So we need to look, number one, at ourselves. So today, before we ever look at anyone else or we ever try to, see what's wrong with anyone else, let's spend a few minutes in front of the mirror and let's look at our own lives. Let's see where we are. Because if Jesus says we need to look at and make changes for ourselves, then I think that's probably where we need to start. Secondly, we need to realize that everyone is different. I challenge you today to find someone who is exactly like you or like me. Okay? Will you do it? Okay. I know there's a lot of people who might look close to the same. Now, I've seen people before. I've actually gone up and started to speak to someone and I've realized, oops, that's not who I thought it was. We do that, don't we? But when we are comparing our lives to one another, we're different. We're different. I grew up in Oklahoma. You may have grown up here. And I talk about a lot of times that if I would have grown up here as a kid, I may not be here today, because we had nothing out there. I mean, it was as bare as it could be. All right? If I had trees and I had water and I had all these hills and mountains and rocks and everything around there, I'll tell you what, I'm exploring. Okay? Because if we found a tree in Oklahoma, we explored it. We were at the top of that thing if we could be. And just imagine what we do. Now, in that, Steve and I talk about these kind of things a lot. He grew up in West Virginia. Wow, that's a lot different, believe me, okay? But do you realize we did a lot of the things the same? That doesn't mean we're exactly alike. No, we're all different. And we need to learn to deal with the differences, okay? When God accepts us as a child, we are in His family. We become His family. You know what? That's where the likeness is. It's that we're in Christ. And being in Christ means that we have that one thing alike. But because we're all different, we need all of each other's talents. And sometimes we butt heads. Sometimes we struggle. Because what I learned in Oklahoma, even though Steve and I may do the same things, what I learned in Oklahoma, he may not have learned in West Virginia. And we may go back and forth about how it's done. Doesn't mean his way's right or wrong. Doesn't mean my way's right or wrong. Just means there's a different way to go about doing it. And that's what we have to do. We have to learn to deal with those differences in our lives. And I believe Jesus put this in here to balance out what He's talking about, what He had just talked about in judging, and what He's talking about here in how we need to get along with others. So we don't need to be hypercritical. That just goes beyond what we need to do. Is criticism good? Well, can be sometimes, but it can also be harmful. We don't need to be fault-finding, because if we do, as I said, I need to start with me before anything else. We're not self-appointed judges. But also know this, we don't have to be gullible either. Okay? We don't have to sit back and say, well, you know, the Bible says that I can't judge, and if I see somebody out here doing something wrong, I can't say anything about it. Let's not let it go that far. Okay? Let's recognize what God is trying to say. He's wanting us to recognize that we cannot put ourselves above someone else. Now, we have to remember who we are and what we are able to do. Common sense is something I think needs to be taught in school. Do you? Because many times, now I'm going to tell you right now, we got some people, if you give them a book, they can read that book and they'll come back and they can give you almost word for word for that book. But when it comes to common sense in life, sometimes people struggle. God gave us His common sense to use it, and He expects us to use it in the right way. One of those ways is dealing with people. Now, if we understand this, I want us to think about this. And I didn't read these verses. I'm sorry. Let's do that first. Verse 6, He says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces." We can sit here today and we can ask this question. Who's He talking about? Who's dogs and who's a swine? Now, we might be sitting here thinking today, well, I know some people that are really some, you know, they're just dogs in life, and this is how they are. And, you know, you try to help them out, and they're just going to turn around, they're just going to tear you to pieces, and that's all they want to do. Or you're going to look back and you're going to say some things about the swine and how, well, you know, these people, this, and you go on and on and on. Careful now in what we do. Are we not judging when we think that way? Here's a better question to think about. How about asking, what is the holy and what are the pearls? That's a good thing to think about, isn't it? We can list a lot of people we think are dogs and swine, right? That's not what God wants us to think about here. What is the holy? What are the pearls? Let me share with you a few verses. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, Jesus is talking about a parable there. He uses it a pearl of great value. And He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant that's seeking beautiful pearls. And you can imagine what this would be like. Your whole, I guess, job that you're going to is you're trying to find these beautiful pearls. Well, when he found one of these pearls, one that he was looking for, beautiful pearl that was there, when he finds one pearl of great price, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. Okay? That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. So you can see how Jesus is referring to this. This is the one most precious thing you could possibly imagine. And what will you do for it? All right? Let's go to the other one. God's Word is holy. We know God's Word is holy. We've read that. We've understood that. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, it refers to them as the Holy Scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it said it's better to not have known the way of righteousness than to having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment, the things that God has given us, that has been delivered to us. So we see this word holy, holy scriptures, words that are set apart from the others that we hear all the time. Words that are given to us to lead us in the right direction and live the right kind of life and look where we need to look. These are scriptures that God has given. He spoke them by Himself. He gave them to these men to write. He helped them to put into the Bible what needs to be there. So, brethren, as we think about this, think about these two things. This pearl is a picture of the church. The church that is so beautiful, that Christ gave His life. He shed His blood. That's what makes it so important. What will we do to try to find that church? And the word holy, understanding that only through His word will we find that great truth. So the holy message is spoken of as a treasure in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, where it says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, it's not me. I'm not the one who can look out and judge you because of the words that have been spoken. No, these are the things that God has given. So, brethren, since all this is true, Christ was warning us against giving God's word to individuals. Those who lack that spiritual appreciation for the truth. Those who refuse to accept those. Those who continually reject the truth. Those who consider it foolishness, according to 1 Corinthians, several verses there. Those who are the kind of people who are spoken of in Titus 1, verse 15. Where it says, who are defiled and unbelieving, having both their minds and consciences defiled. And it's hard to believe this today, and I'm telling you, you just wonder, how long do I keep trying to say these things or teach these things? And this is where we have to recognize what he's talking about in this verse. There are people, unfortunately, in our world today that will not accept the word. They won't do it. They don't want it. They have absolutely nothing to do with it. Now keep that in mind as we go through this. Because what we have to remember here is that Jesus was constantly dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. Constantly. They were on His heels everywhere He went. He couldn't make a move. They were there trying to condemn Him for what He was doing. They refused to accept His words. They refused to listen to what He had to say. All along, they should have known who He was because of the Scriptures that they were given. The problem with that was that they turned the Holy Scriptures into their own, and it turned them away from God. We need to be careful today because we do not have the right in advance. And let me say this. We cannot sit back before we've ever mentioned the word to anybody and say, well, they're not ever going to accept the word. You know, I've known these people for a long time. They're just not. Have we tried? Have we opened up the word once? Have we asked them anything? Now, a lot of times that's how we judge them, isn't it? We do that before we ever even try. Well, that happens many, many times. And we need to be careful not to let that happen. What we must do is that we must always let love rule what we do. The kind of love that God has for us. You know, how many times do you think people might have looked at Saul as he was persecuting the church? If you would have walked up to him and would have said, well, I'm a Christian, Saul, and I'd like to talk to you, and you probably wouldn't have got the sentence out. Because he probably would have had somebody there to arrest you, persecute you in some way, might even kill you. So it got to the point where people just, they didn't even want to go to Paul. They didn't want to be around him. They didn't want to see him anywhere because they knew what he was going to do. Let me ask you this. Who would have converted Paul? That was a question that was presented to us in school. And I thought about that for a long time. Well, there were a lot of people there that, you know, that what about Peter? Or, you know, maybe John. Or you could go through and you could think of a lot of people. And the thought kept coming up, well, if they would have mentioned who they were, they would have never had a chance. But yet, look at what Paul did. Oh, believe me, it took some really strong powers to get him to recognize he wasn't as strong as what he thought he was. But yet when he changed, oh, he looked at himself and he saw what the problem was. He refers to himself many times as the greatest sinner that there ever was. But yet, he realized what could help him. So let's not prejudge someone when we don't need to. Of course, Matthew 28, Mark 16 talks about how we're to take the gospel to all the world. Now, if we continually try to teach someone and we're constantly being rejected, and I want us to be careful about this as well, because I know many times we sit back, we go out and we'll say, "Hey, would you like to come to church with me?" And they'll say, "No, I can't. God, I tried. They're just impossible to talk to." That's not really trying, is it? No, if we're constantly trying to try to teach someone, and they are constantly rejecting the Word, that's what they're rejecting. Okay, understand that right now? Because I know many people going, "Well, I just don't have it in me to do this." No, you don't. I don't either. Oh, but the Word does. And that's what we need to remember as we take this with them. Common sense, the principle of being good stewards of our time, which Ephesians 5:16 talks about, so be careful redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to be very smart. We need to say, like, we need to stop casting our pearls before swine and find someone else to teach. Now, does that mean that we've just flat given up? No. Because if you've taught the Word to someone, guess what's there? Guess what they've heard? Okay. They may not accept it in my lifetime. But there may be something that comes along sometime, and they'll come back and they'll think, "Oh, wait a minute. I heard something like this one time." And you might be surprised at how many times people will change. Now, we may not be able to do it. And there may be a time where we just have to stop and walk away. Jesus talked about that when he sent his disciples out. He said, "Look, if they reject your word, reject the word, shake the dust off your feet and go on." That doesn't mean that they can't change somewhere along the way. We will have to relate to many different kinds of people, and we'll have to learn how to treat each one. Okay, I'm going to have to speed up here just a little bit. Jesus didn't say now to go out and shoot the dogs and the swine, did he? No. He didn't say that they're going to reject you, so just go on out there and get rid of them. That's not what he said at all. No, he said, just leave them alone. Leave them alone. There we go. Something can happen. Something down the line. Paul admonished in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, where he said, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. As much as depends on us. Do we have the responsibility to live a peaceable life? Yes, we do. He goes on in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, where he says that as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. All right? So, let's look at verses 7 through 11 here real quick. Remember those that we've talked about up to this point. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That's a good thought. As parents, we give our children the best, don't we? We try our hardest to give them the best. Just imagine, God does so much more. All right? So what we need to do is we need to determine to rely on God. Now, at first, you might be thinking, "Oh, right, finally, we're done with this subject of judging and having to look at myself and what I need to change and this and that." And no, we're not. Because what we're about to look at here goes along with the theme of getting along with others. On one hand, we're not to be judgmental, right? We're supposed to be merciful. We're supposed to be kind, as God is, as He has been to us. And then on the other hand, we're not to be gullible, and we need to know when to shake the dust off our feet, like I talked about just a minute ago. Okay? So these are things that we're always going to battle. We're always going to question. How do we keep from being tough when we should be tender? And how do we be tender when we should be tough? We battle this all the time. How am I to know? What is it that I'm supposed to do? That's exactly what these verses are talking about, verses 7 through 11. The answer is that we must rely on God. Okay? We must rely on Him. It relates to our subject here in several different ways. I'll get it here in a minute. When you think about living as a Christian, when you think about living as an obedient child of God, There are certain things that we must look for. And these verses here will give us many of those things. First of all, God shows mercy to us. Okay? And this implies that we should show mercy to others. God has been so merciful to us. Can we show a little bit of mercy to someone else? It emphasizes that we can go to God with our needs. In particular, the needs that we have to deal with others. The things that we need to work with others. God will give what is good to those who ask Him. And there'll be people who'll sit here and say, "Oh, right, well, you know, God, I want this new home, or I want this new car, or I want all..." No. Let's be realistic. Let's use that common sense here just a little bit, okay? When we ask God for the things that we need, let us understand what that need is. And let's rely on God. But how about the need to have the ability to know how to deal with all kinds of people? All kinds. That takes a long time. That takes a lot of time from our lives and also from theirs as well. So if we really want to get along with others, if relationships are important to us, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be spending a lot of time in prayer. So you see how this message of this verses 7 through 11 deal with this. God, help me deal with those I'm around. Help me deal with my brothers and sisters in Christ in a way that would be pleasing to you. Father, help me deal with those who are outside of the body of Christ, that they recognize that I love them as you love them. And that I want them to know the truth and what that truth can do. You see, if we do these kind of things, number one, we're relying on God to help us as we go through our life in all different kinds of things. So, what do we need to do? Verse 12. Oh, we know this one, right? I started to put this out on the sign. I thought, because I'd probably give away what we're doing this morning. But I want us to think about this one very, very carefully. Verse 12. Therefore, out of all these things, don't be a hypocrite. Look at yourself and see the changes you need to make. Recognize what needs to be done. Now, don't be gullible. Don't just give in to everything and allow everyone just to walk all over you. That's not what we're dealing with either. But understand we need to rely on God to make the right decisions and the right choices. So, when we do that, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. How many of you here today want people to come up to you and look at you and say, "Man, you are going to hell"? I don't want to hear that. I want to know what I can do to stay away from that place. Help me know that. You know what that does? Well, number one, that says that I have to look at myself very carefully. Because if I'm going to judge that way, guess who I'm going to see there? Or they're going to see there? They're going to see me. Because I don't have the right to judge that way. No, here's what we need to do together. Here's what we need to work on together. Here's how we need to be. What I want someone to do to me is how I want to treat them. I love them. I want them to be in heaven. I want them to know who Christ is. I want them to know what Christ did. I want them to know why I have the hope that I have. You know what that's going to do? That's going to bring us closer together. But that's how I want to be treated. So that's how I want to treat others as well. This verse summarizes all that's been said regarding human relationships. All those things that are important. Whether it's with a brother or an enemy. Whether it's with a friend or a foe. Jesus dealt with all of them, didn't He? He knows what He's talking about. We need to follow that rule. This passage is here to declare a principle that covers numerous other situations that may arise in relationships. Listen, there's going to be a lot of things that happen. There's going to be a lot of things that we struggle with one another. Wouldn't this work in everything we deal with? Wouldn't this be something to guide ourselves by as we go through our life? Sure it would. Treating people the way that we want to be treated. Fingers a little sticky. What if it was like this in all the world? What if it was like this everywhere we turned around? What if businesses operated this way? Wow, can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine how many customers you would have? People would just be flocking to your business if that's the way we treated them. How about every home? Don't we need this in the home? Let me tell you what. You know what's going to make your business successful like this? Starting in the home. Teaching that in the home. Every school, if our schools had this as well, well, again, all this comes from the home. It starts there. That's the challenge that we have. Every nation, if nations would treat others how they'd want to be treated. Well, let me just say this. If nations treated each other how they wanted to be treated right now, we'd be blowing each other up, wouldn't we? Because that's the kind of mindset that we have in our world today. No, we need to teach this golden rule, the rule that comes from Christ about what it means to love one another. If every nation had that, I don't care the differences that we have. Let's talk about the one thing that can bring us together. Now, if we all had that mindset, and I'm talking leadership, you know, in nations and everywhere, wouldn't it be great? How about every congregation? Well, I just didn't really like what the preacher said this morning. He's talking straight to me. Now, I want you to know this morning, if you feel that way, and I've said this many, many times, most of the times these sermons don't get any farther than this pulpit. Okay? So I'm in the same boat you are. If I'm stepping on your toes, I told somebody, I said, I went and bought steel-toe shoes because I got tired of stepping on my own. But that's what this is about. We need to learn. We need to look at ourselves. The only reason that I stand up here and preach to you today is because I probably learned some of these things along the way. And I know how important it is that we do that. Oh, just think of what we could do to bring glory to God if we did that. We all want to be treated with compassion. So let's treat one another with compassion. We want others to try to understand this, just to cover up some of the stupidity that we do. I mean, sometimes we do things and it is just, where did that come from? Well, we want people to forgive us when that happens. So let's do the same thing to them. When they have these moments, understand what they are. They're human moments. Moments that they, you know, they wish that they could take what they said back. Or they wish they could take back what they did. Or something like that. Make it easier on them. Let them know you forgive them. Because that's what we want done for us. Now, I said I didn't want to get too far because I want to ask you this question. Have you failed in treating others as you should? I had to put that up there because I have too. I have too. We are here together today to try to make things right together. You know, to do things right together. I've always said if I've offended someone or if I've done something that's hurt someone and I don't know it, let me know, please, because I don't want to go through, I don't want you to go through life dealing with that. And if I had any thought of that, I don't want to go through life that way either. It's important that we need to examine ourselves and we need to live the principles that we have studied here today. I want to close with this little picture up here. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I believe this is a very important deal where it says to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. You know what? That tells me there's something God wants me to do. That tells me that there's something that's important for us to do in our life. And you know what else it tells me? It tells me that everybody in this world is important to God. He wants them to be with Him. Now, it is important for us today. Like I said, let's not be gullible and just say, oh, God's going to accept everyone, because not everyone's going to accept Him. We must do that first. We must accept what His Word says. That means that we're going to believe this Word. We're going to believe what God said. And when we believe that, number one, we're going to recognize, because I'm going to examine myself first, I need to repent. I need to change. Because that's what God told me I needed to do. Now, when I do that, now I might be able to help someone else out. If they're struggling with the same things I might have gone through, they need that help as well. I need to confess before everyone that I believe Jesus Christ. I believe who He is. I believe what He did. I believe why He did what He did. And I believe that without Him today, I would be lost. That's what I really need to confess. I need to confess He is the Son of God. And as I do that again, hopefully I'm helping someone else out along the way. I need to be baptized so my sins can be forgiven. You know, we talked about Paul earlier. And when he was struck blind, do you think he believed in God? I have a feeling he was as flat as he could possibly be trying to find, God, help me out of this. I don't know what to do. And God sent him someone to help him. Now, a very important question was asked. Saul, what are you waiting for? What is it that you are waiting for? You know the power of God. You've seen it firsthand. You've heard it. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, Saul had not been saved from his sins yet because he had not completed what God wanted him to do. Did he recognize the power of God? Did he believe in God? Yes, he did. He believed who Jesus was without a doubt because Jesus talked to him. And when that question was asked, Paul was baptized and his sins were no more. Wow. Now, isn't that something? We could have sat back and said, Paul, you ain't got a chance. God is not going to forgive you for what you've done. I can't do that because God forgave him. And look at what Paul was able to do with his life as he gave himself fully to God. He lived a faithful life until the day that he was taken from this earth. Brethren, today, that's exactly what we need to do. I've been there. I had to make this decision as well. But we have to make it according to what the Word says. Now, if we're not a child of God today, please think very seriously about doing what the Bible says, believing in what it says, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized so that your sins can be washed away and that you can live a faithful life to God from this day on with the hope that you will be with Him. And if we are Christians today, and believe me, we're not above what we're talking about here. We make mistakes. We make the wrong choices. We make the wrong judgments. We need to be forgiven as well. And sometimes we need to do that in a public way because we've done it in public. But we don't do that to embarrass. We do that because we need the help of one another, the encouragement of one another. So this morning, how well do you get along with others? And I would say the answer to that is how you get along with God. That's where it starts. Let us be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, we want to encourage you. We want to let you know we love you, and we will be here with you all along the way. So if you have a need and we can help you out this morning in any way, let us know as we stand, as we sing.